During a flood in the hill country of Texas in 1978, there was a lady who needlessly lost her life. Her daughter told reporters, "My mother did not climb the tree with us. She lost her way before we got to the tree." She said she always kept every little bill and slip and stuff. She would not let go of her purse with those papers in it. It was revealed that the family was trying to make a chain holding hands to get through the water, but the mother had brought her insurance papers, and she had those gathered in her hands, and she wouldn't drop them to hold on to the chain, so she just washed away. Priority, defined as preceding in importance, that which comes first. Our priorities are obvious by how we live our lives. We're going to look at three things this morning that reveal our priorities. These three areas of our life: what we talk about, how we spend our time, and how we spend our money. These three areas will tattle on us, so we need to pay close attention to what they say about us, because they don't lie. In Matthew 12, verse 34, Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Our priorities tell on us because we like to talk about them. When Andrew found Christ, the first thing he did was he went to Peter and told him. John chapter 1, verses 40 and 41 says, "One of the two who heard John," that would be John the Baptizer, "speak, and who followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first," there's your priority, "he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which is translated the Christ. We see this again in the next few verses with Philip telling Nathanael, beginning in verse 43. "Following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" We want to tell people about what is important to us. Now, obviously, just because somebody wants to talk about something all the time doesn't mean they're really devoted to that. They may just find it to be an interesting thing to talk about. Some of the most religious people who ever lived, in fact, were the Pharisees. And Christ had some choice words to say about them and their true devotion to God. "These people draw near to me with their mouth," Matthew 15. "They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Some people love to talk about God. They love to talk about religion, just like some people love to talk about NASCAR or Cubs baseball or other things. It's just something they're interested in and something they really love to talk about, but it really has no impact on the way they live their lives. But regardless, sooner or later, the topic of conversation will be centered on our interests. We just kind of work that way. Maybe not necessarily with the enthusiasm of a golf nut, but like flies at a picnic, they keep showing up. And so our interests will keep coming up in conversations. Our family, our children know what's important to us. We talk about it. Our friends know what's important to us. In fact, it may be quite enlightening to see what a list of what our friends and our family would consider to be our priorities. Chances are they wouldn't be too far off. because if our conversation didn't clue them in, then our schedule would. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," which is not a real good translation there, but deal with that in a second. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." That's the New King James translation. Talking about redeeming the time. That, again, is not the best. You know, we think of redeem and people think of coupons or something like this, and maybe a lot of people wouldn't know exactly how to break the word down, but the idea is to buy back, to rescue from loss, to ransom, to improve opportunity, maybe a little more helpful. Other translations do a better job capturing the meaning of the text. For example, the English Standard Version tells us to make the best use of time. New American Standard, making the most of your time. New International and New Living Translation say, making the most of every opportunity. The context also sheds some light on this thought. We're told to walk circumspectly, my translation again says, walk carefully or diligently. Not as fools, but as wise. And then he says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. These are all in reference to making the best use of our time. Don't just go through life absent-mindedly. Don't live your life like those who don't know the will of the Lord. Don't spend your time in ways that fundamentally will end up leaving you this time next year the same way that you are today. That you will not have grown, you will not have changed. How we use our time tells what we think is important. We've got a ball game tonight. Got the theater tomorrow night. Boy Scouts the next night. Movies the next night, another ball game the next night, or 2 to 3 hours with the TV, or PC gaming, or whatever the proper terminology is for it these days. Hours on the telephone, married to the job, take your pick. We can always find time for doing what we truly want to do. How we use our time sets an example for and influences those around us. I recall, it's been a long time ago now, I hate to say how long, but a long time ago, I grew up in the time, and some of you did, where I don't remember when seatbelts came out, but what was it, the early 70s or something maybe? Does anybody have a number there on that? I don't know. But we weren't used to using them. My dad had been driving for however many decades and had never used them. He stuffed them down in his underneath the seats, behind the seat, and get them out of the way. And he was taking a fellow with him on one occasion. And when the guy got in the car, Dad said 10 minutes. It probably seemed like 10 minutes, trying to dig that seat belt out to wear it. And Dad said that he was just... He said if he was that determined and if it meant that much to him, then my dad started wearing his seatbelt after that. How we use our time speaks loudly about what we think is important to us. Now, I realize that sometimes poor use of time can be a result of poor planning. It can be a result of no goals. It can be a result of laziness or simply the wrong priorities. Can be a result of not making the simple connection that the way we spend our time is actually what we're doing with our life. It's a simple concept, but it seems that some people have never put that together, or maybe they're not really interested in it. I'm not sure, but when we are really interested in something, we will make time for it regularly. time management courses always say to put your high priority items on the top of the list and do them first. Well, fact is, we do that anyway, whether you've ever read a time management book or an article or not. That's what we do. That which is most important. Now, I realize there are things that are urgent that need to be attended to, but I'm talking about our free time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Like time and tongue, how we spend our money tells what is really important to us. How does my giving compare with my spending on other things? Certainly that which we profess to be the most important thing in the world deserves to be supported accordingly. But the scriptures make it plain that we must first give ourselves to God. God's interest is man, not money. But when man gives God his heart, it will have an impact on how that man uses his money. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, discussing their giving, he said, "This they did, they first gave themselves to the Lord, then to us by the will of God." When someone tries to determine how much to give to the Lord when they haven't first given themselves, it will always be a sticky enterprise. We show our priorities by the way we spend our money. Decades ago, I knew of a family back in Kentucky who'd received several thousand dollars as a refund from their taxes, and they were torn between getting indoor plumbing and a satellite dish. They got the satellite dish. We all have our priorities, and like all of us, they showed theirs by how they spent their tax refund. But some people want to determine faithfulness based on the dollar amount that somebody gives, and yet the amount that somebody gives can be quite deceptive. You recall the widow with the two mites, a fraction of a penny. And Jesus, as you know, said she gave more than all the others. Maybe a better way to determine faithfulness would be to ask, how does my contribution compare to the weekly amount that I spend eating out, buying toys or whatever things, gadgets, whatever, entertainment, clothes, recreation? Did I mention eating out? There's a lot of truth to the old adage, put your money where your mouth is. I think a lot of people have taken that literally. But we need to be honest with ourselves in how we spend our money. Hundreds of dollars a week on these kinds of activities, and then just a small amount given to the contribution. Of course, all of us have become proficient at justifying ourselves. That's something we humans have a knack for, it seems. Someone has said, "I am not a shopaholic. I'm helping balance the economy." During the Byron Nelson golf tournament in Dallas in May of 1981, a massive tree limb broke off and fell on a spectator who was killed instantly. It happened near the third hole where a golfer named Charles Coody was playing at the time. And shortly after the accident, he was interviewed on the radio. And in talking to the reporter, he said, "After running over and seeing the accident, I tried to play golf again, but I had a hard desire to play after that. Had no desire, rather. All of a sudden," he said, "those 3-foot putts just didn't seem that important." when tragedies occur, the things that seemed so important are often shown for the trivia that they actually are. If these three things, what we talk about, how we spend our time, and how we spend our money, if these three things don't tell what we consider to be most important, then what does? The fact is, our priorities do tell on us, and they always tell the truth. The Lord hears what they say. The world hears what they say. Our children, our family, and our friends hear what they say. The question is, do we? Let's stand together and sing the song that's been chosen.